The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Thank you so much for the reality of those words. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that Jesus Christ is life. Is the life to our heart and to our soul. That Jesus Christ is light. Light to the darkness that is all around us, in our world, and sometimes in our own situations. And Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the hope. He brings hope. And you're the God of hope. And I pray this morning that you, the God of hope, would fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Take a seat. For those of you that haven't been with us, and for a reminder for those of you that have, we're going through the first couple of chapters of Luke leading up to Christmas. And today we're looking at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist. And you may remember that Elizabeth was barren, couldn't have kids, and through a miracle, she got pregnant. And we know that Zechariah couldn't speak for 9 months because he sort of questioned how this would all happen. And in our church, we've got a guy that's been through similar situations. We've got invite Luke Tassel to come forward. Luke was speechless when he was told he was having twins. But Luke and Janelle, that's on top of their other three kids. Luke and Janelle, that's a picture of the family. And that's true. And the doctor said that Janelle was infertile. So 5 kids out of infertility, that's great. It's always a good story. But Luke and Janelle are working in Southeast Asia in ministry. And maybe Luke, just as a lead into this story, just share some of the miracles that God has done in your kids and just their birth and all the stuff that goes with that.
So about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, doctor said to Janelle that she was infertile and that she'd never have any more children. And maybe you remember Janelle sharing that on stage and just, you know, the pain for her to hear that news. Well, God was very gracious, like David said, and we had a son, Jeshua, who's now 2 years old, which was a wonderful blessing and a wonderful miracle. And then we've been living in Indonesia, like David said, and back in April this year, we had another surprise because we found out that Janelle was pregnant again. We were just getting our heads around that, and Janelle had an ultrasound at 20 weeks when she found out she was expecting twins. And so our little surprise was coming with a brother, which was incredible. And so we came back to Australia in September, and when we came back to Australia, the doctor in Australia did an ultrasound, and the doctor said that one of the babies wasn't getting enough blood supply and that Janelle would need an emergency cesarean. And so the babies were born at just 31 weeks, so about 9 weeks early. And they were born at King Edward Memorial Hospital, and they lived there for the next 8 years of their life.
8 years?
8 weeks.
Time goes quick.
8 weeks of their life. And the doctor was saying, when they were born, because they were so small, they couldn't breathe by themselves, they couldn't feed, they couldn't regulate their own temperature. Because they were born so early, the doctor said there was a high risk of them being blind or not hearing, or even bleeding in their brain and brain damage, which was really hard to hear. And so we asked you guys to pray for them. And we're just so thankful for what God's done. Because they're now 10 weeks old, and they're still very small, but they can regulate their own temperature, and they can feed, and they can breathe by themselves. And all the tests they've had on their brains is normal so far. And their vision's normal, and their hearing's normal. And we're just so thankful for the grace and the miracles that God's done in our little boys' lives.
Yeah. And I guess also, thank you, some of you have actually played a role in blessing the family, just in helping Janelle cope with the kids, so that's been good as well.
Yeah, and definitely a large example of God's grace in our lives has been this church, and all of you that have cooked meals for us, and the lovely women who have come over to help us, and just all the support that we've had. So it's been awesome. We're really thankful.
Yeah. How about we pray before you go, mate? Father, I want to pray for Luke and Janelle and for the 5 kids. I thank you that every one of them is a miracle. Lord, you know their lives, you know their story, and I just want to pray a blessing on each one of them. I want to pray that you continue to give Janelle and Luke your strength and your encouragement. And Father, thanks for this this church and just for the people who have intentionally and specifically blessed them, and for everyone else that has prayed and played their part in whatever way that is. Father, thank you that you're at work, and thank you for the miracle in Luke and Janelle's family and in their lives as well. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, mate. You know, as I hear Luke, and you could talk to him more about some of the things that God's done in the other kids' lives as well, but always the central thing here is God is the hero. You know, we might sort of say, wow, Luke and Janelle are fantastic, able to do this, but God is the hero. God is the centerpiece of their story, and they're very quick to acknowledge that. God is the one that they always point to. And it's interesting as we go through this passage and read about Zechariah and Elizabeth and John, just how we see that coming out as well, that God is the hero in this story as well. So let's read. Verse 57 from Luke 1. When it was time for Elizabeth to have a baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, which was the tradition. But it's interesting, they're having a circumcision party. You ever been to one of them? No, I haven't either. Don't know if they're even popular these days, but anyway. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. In other words, Liz, you don't get this. I don't know how long you've been around this. This is your first baby, but you don't get it. The tradition is you name him after Zechariah or one of the relatives. And so then they made signs to his father, to Zechariah, to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and that's why we have the first iPad in the New Testament. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Very firm, very deliberate. His name is John. Do you know what John means? God is gracious. God is gracious. A central theme throughout the whole of Scripture is God is gracious. And they were told to name him John. You see, this was not about Zechariah and Elizabeth and family traditions. This was about our gracious God, this God who is full of grace. You know, a gracious God is foreign in all other religions. We have a God of grace. No other religion has a God of grace. Every other religion has a God who you have to actually measure up. We have a God who is gracious, full of grace. So I can just imagine this family, and if you've got a son or a father or anything called John, every time they spoke his name, they're yelling out, God is gracious. John, God is gracious. John, God is gracious. God is gracious. As I think about grace, it's getting more than we deserve, in a positive sense, way more. You know, God is an abundant giver, always pouring out on us, always pouring out life and love. You know, we don't deserve what he gives us. We deserve separation from him. He gives us connection with him. We don't deserve that. We deserve separation. We deserve nothing good, but he gives us life to the full, salvation and hope. And you know, in our world of ungrace, where people do a job, get paid for what they do, they deserve what they do and get, and we have the surprise of grace, because God, grace is a surprise to us. It's not normal, it's not usual. God is gracious. Just a beautiful thing. And verse 64, immediately his, Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue set free and he began to speak, praising God. Now 9 months saying nothing, and the first things he does is praises God. Praises God. What else could he do? I mean, it's great to praise our amazing, gracious God. Sometimes, even like Matt brought out in that song, sometimes it's really easy to praise God because it's great times. And Zechariah's in the middle of one of these right now, praising God. But sometimes, in the tough times, in the hard times, in the suffering, it's difficult to praise God. But it's at that point that we need to be intentional in our praise and our rejoicing. A week or so ago, I was at an art sort of, you know how you have these on-site artists, and they've got these paintings around the room. I happened to be there. I don't normally go to art shows, but we were there, so I wandered through. There's a guy called Des Smith, an Aussie guy. He paints beaches and wheat belt country. So it was quite close to my heart. And he's got this dog called Bluey that he paints in the pictures. And sometimes Bluey is front and center on the back of the ute. Sometimes he's very obvious. And sometimes you think, now where's Bluey in this picture? Oh, there he is, way at the back, sticking his head out from behind a tree. But in every picture that he's painted, he's Bluey. Every picture. And it was quite fun looking for him. Every picture, where's Bluey? There he is. And I thought, that's exactly the same of the grace of God. In every picture of your life, the grace of God is there. Sometimes it's very up front and centre, very evident. Sometimes you've got to look hard to find it, but it's always in the picture. Always in the picture. That's why it's always good to praise God for His grace. Because it's always in your picture, always in the picture of your life and what you're going through. Amazing grace. Life transformation happens through the amazing grace of God. You know, even as I reflected on my life this week, and I encourage you to do that, reflect on your life and just think through, where would you be if God, in His grace, didn't get a hold of you? Where would you be? I mean, as I started to reflect on that, I come up with some bad situations. Where would you be if God's grace didn't get a hold of you? Where would you be if when you rebelled heavily against Him, if God's grace didn't come through for you then either? Where would you be? And I just think it's important for us all to take time to praise our gracious God for His grace in our lives. It's always there. It's always evident if we look for it. For His grace in getting hold of you, and for His grace in not making you pay, for His grace in blessing you when you don't deserve it. You know, if you're not a Christian here today, I just encourage you to realize that this gracious God wants you to experience His grace and His life. He wants you to. He's not holding out on you. He's a lavish giver. You might say, I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. And that's true. You don't. And you're not. But none of us are. We don't deserve grace because we're good enough. We're not good enough. Never good enough. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace we are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone starts to boast about it. It's a gift. Grace is the gift of God, and we are saved by it. Verse 65, all the neighbours were filled with awe, as they would be. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. What then is this child going to be? I mean, we know what happened with John the Baptist. You know, he went on to be the preparer of Jesus. He's ultimately killed for his faith as well. What is this child going to be? You know, as I think about children, some of you are parents of young kids. Some of you are to be parents. Some of you have got five kids. What then is your child going to be? You know, my encouragement is to speak words of life into our kids, to speak dreams, to speak hope, to speak encouragement into our kids' lives. And if your kids are moved away, as you write to them, as you email them, speak words of life into them. The children that are involved in our church, speak words of life into them. Pray for them. Pray for the people who work in the kids' ministry. Pray for the people who work in the youth ministry. Pray blessing on them so that they speak words of life into your kids. What then will this child become? We play a part in that. We can fan the flame on their growth. We can fan the flame. You might want to get involved in the ministry and think, gee, I've never even thought about it. Get involved. I was chatting to one guy, one parent, one father who's involved in teaching in the Discovery Cove, is that right? The primary school kids. And I said, God bless you for doing that, mate. And he said, it's an absolute privilege, he said, to actually invest myself into these young lives. And he's got kids there. Do we see that? What then can this child become? I was thinking of Matthias Galt, got baptized 2 weeks ago here, 10 years old. And he didn't share this part on the day, but Matthias got converted back in August when Machine Gun Preacher was here. He shared that part. But then recently Isabel, his mum, said to me, he has to do a project on his hero. So he says, Mum, I'm going to do my project on Jesus. He's my hero. She said, really? Because he had to do a big poster on it and present 3 minutes to the class. He says, yep, I'm going to do it on Jesus. I mean, what better hero is there than Jesus? What then can this child become? So he does that, does the poster, speaks Jesus to his class for 3 minutes. 10-year-old. We got no idea what God is doing in our kids' lives, but we can fan the flame on their faith. We can fan the flame on what he's doing and be involved ourselves. It's a fantastic thing. What then is this child going to be? Be involved in producing something that is going to be unbelievably powerful for the kingdom of God. So our role is to receive, to reveal, to reflect, and to pass on God's grace. Pass it on. Verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So the rest of this chapter is about his prophecy. Two parts. One part is about the Messiah coming, very imminent. And the second part is about John's role in that preparation for Jesus. Verse 68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Redeemed, it's an old word. It basically means open the prison door, set the captives free, set the slaves free, open prison doors. And that's what Jesus has done. Some of you might say, yeah, I know that. Well, let's continue to live free. Let's continue to live that out. Verse 69, he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. The horn of salvation represents power and victory. So he doesn't just release captives. There's the power and the victory that goes with that. You know, it's the picture here of an army that is just about to be defeated by the enemy. But then help comes in and defeats the enemy and does it in such a way they'll never be able to take captives again. That's the picture that comes out of this. It means total victory for those of us who are in Christ. Total victory for the people of God. And we see there that it's through the house of the servant David. I mean, in the Old Testament, it was prophesied the Messiah would come through the line of David. Both Mary and Joseph were in David's line. Verse 72, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. You know, in these verses here we see another fantastic picture of God being trustworthy, being faithful to what he promised. This oath that he swore to our father Abraham. You know, back in Genesis 12 and then 17, God says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the father of a nation. And through you, all the nations of this world will be blessed. And it was pointing to the Messiah coming. And he knows that it's happening now. Zechariah realizes this. And we are a part of that as well. Because the ongoing blessing, see, that's a theme of Scripture, blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to serve. We are blessed to be a blessing to other people. It's the passing on of the grace, passing on of all that God's given us. And this is where I see God as so trustworthy. He actually comes good with his promises. We can believe him, we can trust in him. And then you see the results of that victory in where it says it enables us to serve him without fear. So this redemption, this victory that we have, is to enable us to serve God without fear. God bless you as you serve God. May there be a release of fear in our lives. Fear is one of those things that just binds us up. God bless you as you pass on the blessing, as you serve God and serve his people. So then we have Zechariah moving into where he speaks about John's role in all of this. So you're getting the picture here so far. Just this awesome picture of a gracious God who is a redeemer, who gives us victory, full of power, and he's trustworthy. You can believe in him. And then Zechariah comes in verse 76. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. And here we have another great picture of forgiveness. Obviously, God is a forgiver. We can say that quickly, but we forget it. Salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. You know, forgiveness is about cancelling the debt. The debt has been paid. Jesus paid the debt. He paid the debt that we owed, but we couldn't pay it. Jesus paid that debt. Jesus forgives sins. And the other good thing is that God doesn't then hold things against us. He doesn't say, well, listen, I've forgiven your sin. Now, what are you doing? You know, and you shouldn't do that again. And he doesn't hold it against us and make us pay for things we then do. Constant forgiveness. You know, you've been forgiven for sin, past, present and future. It's all been dealt with. Your sin's been forgiven. So live in the freedom of that forgiveness. Live in it. I was thinking, Nelson Mandela died a week or two ago. I was reading an article in the paper, and there was a comment about one of the prison guards who was with him for a long time, a white South African. And he said, the one word that I see that would describe Nelson Mandela would be forgiveness. Forgiveness. He said he just forgave. He said he experienced God's forgiveness and he forgave people. He never, ever took revenge. He never made people pay for what they'd done to him. Very intentionally invited people to be a part of things when he was made president and everything as an indication of, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. Same thing in Christ. We are free. We're not guilty. We're forgiven. But if you're not a Christian, then you're not free and there is still guilt there because you're carrying the whole thing. You're carrying the load. Now the other verse that comes out there, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, the tender mercy of our God, because of the tender mercy of our God, we have an opportunity to receive forgiveness. It's not just a matter of, oh, okay, then I'll forgive you. God's not like that. There's a tenderness. He's tender-hearted. There's a tender mercy of God. And in a sense, John the Baptist's ministry, I think sometimes we look at John the Baptist and see him as some rip-roaring sort of maverick from the desert, harsh man. But I believe he was probably a minister of this tender mercy of God. Didn't always come across like that. Repent! But as a ministry of the tender mercy of God, like Paul says in Romans 2, verse 4, where he says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. You see, God is kind, but he's not soft. But God is tender-hearted. There's tender mercy, there's kindness in God. By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The rising sun will come to us from heaven. It's like the dawning of a new day, the sunrise. Light and hope has come out of the darkness. Light and hope. People have been sitting in the darkness, in despair, in no hope, in bondage, and suddenly this new light shines on them. This new light that brings hope and light and life and peace and joy because of the tender mercy of our God. Light always defeats darkness. You know, our family has had a fairly interesting week. Some of you know Raymer's father. My father-in-law passed away on Wednesday afternoon. And the memorial service is tomorrow morning, so you can pray for that as I do that here. We want to pray that God brings fruit out of this. But it was really fantastic on Wednesday afternoon. Raymer and her sister were both there with the dad. And Raymer just got there and they were both holding hands and just talking to him and chatting away. And at one point where there'd been no recognition, no indication of anything happening in his face, at one point suddenly there's this big smile. And Rami goes, he's smiling. And then he died. Right then. And I thought, did he see heaven? Did he see Jesus saying, come on, Trev, time to come? I think so. Because it was like, bang, bang. Smile, gone. Gone to be with his Savior and Lord. He saw the dawning of a new day. He saw the reality of this new day dawning. Right there. And then he's not here, he's gone. Now this is our God. This is the God we worship. This is the God we celebrate. Gracious. Tender mercy. Redeemer. The one who gives freedom. Victorious. Trustworthy. Full of love. Generous giver. Gives peace in the midst of the storms. And welcomes us home when our life is done. And puts a big smile on our face at the same time. How good is that? How good is that? This is the God that we worship. Can I just encourage you to continue to believe in Jesus, to believe in this gracious God, because right now he's smiling on you. He's smiling on you. He loves you heaps. So if you're in Christ, can I encourage you to go for it? Go for broke with this life of Christ. Go for broke in growing in Christ and living for him. Serve him with joy and keep passing on the blessing. And if you're not yet in Christ, I have to ask the question, why not? You know, to me it's a no-brainer, but I'm sitting on the other side of the fence. If you're not in Christ, you're missing out on this awesome God. This awesome God. I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ is right here now and he's welcoming you. He's wanting to welcome you into his kingdom. He's wanting to open his, he's opening his arms and saying, come on, give your life to me. He's trustworthy and he's gracious. Today could be a new day dawning for you. It could be a new sunrise. In the midst of all the darkness, there's always hope in Jesus. Give him a shot. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the life that you pour out on us. Father, I pray that more and more we will trust you. That we won't ever take the grace of God for granted. Father, protect us from doing that. We don't want to take your grace for granted. Father, may we live it out. May we continue to live out what you've called us to. To reveal, like John the Baptist, reveal the Christ. To prepare the way for him. And to pass on the blessing. And Father, again, I want to pray for anyone here who's not in Christ, that today would be